I'm here.
Oh, good. You've been calling Greenwood, just not WCRS.
I've been calling Greenwood Plating, and and they're not open just yet. So
okay.
I apologize. One little number can make a huge difference.
Absolutely, it can. So, well, Election Day is almost here. Tomorrow's the day. But I want to ask you, I know you've been very busy and involved with what's been happening up in Benghazi. What do you think, Trey, is the election, what effect is the election going to have on the information that we end up getting on Benghazi?
Well, we're going to get the information that led to the murder of our four fellow Americans, regardless of who wins tomorrow. It's going to be easier if Governor Romney wins. Because what we know so far, Ann, has not come from this administration. It's come from whistleblowers who send information to my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
The administration has given us nothing except false explanations, obfuscation. They couldn't even get us access to a Tunisian prisoner. Senator Graham had to do that, who, last time I checked, he's not the Secretary of State. So it will be easier if Governor Romney wins, but you've got four dead Americans and 2 weeks' worth of misrepresentations made to the American people. We're going to find out what happened in Benghazi, regardless of who wins tomorrow.
What about executive privilege?
If he wants to go to court and tell our fellow citizens, and more importantly, the 200 or 190-something Democrat House members who are going to be up again in 2014, and the one-third of the Senate is going to be up again in 2014. Now, sure enough, the president won't have to face the voters again. But it's already going to be a long 4 years for him if he wins tomorrow. It will be torturous if there's one committee hearing after another because of his refusal to provide information. I mean, he can invoke an executive privilege. He proved that with Fast and Furious.
Sure.
And that's one of the, I guess, one of the beauties and one of the limitations of our system is one branch of government can't make another branch of government do something. If you think about it, the courts can rule a statute unconstitutional, but if the legislative branch and the executive branch don't pay any attention to that court opinion, then the courts have no power. We can ask the executive branch to... And ultimately, we do have some weapons in our arsenal. Obviously, the nuclear weapon, when you're dealing with the executive branch, is the power of impeachment. But there again, the trial takes place in the Senate. So, our framers knew what they were doing, and we're going to see tomorrow with the Electoral College that they knew what they were doing. But if you have one branch of government that's not cooperative, then it makes it tough. Not impossible, but tough. We're going to find out what happened in Benghazi because the national mainstream media is not going to be able to keep the lid on it forever. They've done it for several weeks, but they're not going to be able to do it forever.
What do you think about the way this has come together, Trey? I mean, I find it phenomenal that that there hasn't been that emphasis that I think there should have been on what happened. How has the media and how has the president been able to slide through on this?
Well, you used the word phenomenal. The word I would use would not be appropriate for family radio. You go back and think of the outlash against Mitt Romney right after Benghazi when he dared to criticize the president's foreign policy. The media was all over Mitt Romney for about 48 hours.
Exactly.
And then we found out, hey, he might have been closer to the truth than we thought. And it's just been crickets ever since then. I mean, dude, there's been nothing. Now, CBS and a reporter named Cheryl Atkinson is doing some stuff. Fox News, obviously, is doing some stuff. Internet, talk radio. But NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, which is just a joke in terms of a news organization, apparently... The murder of four Americans, questions about whether security was adequate, questions about why we were lied to and a video was blamed, and most significantly right now, questions about what happened during that 6 to 8 hour time period I'm not a conspiracist, but you don't have to be a conspiracist to be able to say what I'm about to say. If George Bush were still in the White House, they would be camped out on the lawn of the White House demanding explanations from him. The meteorologist in chief, our president, doesn't have to answer anything. Just gets away with it.
Yeah, I have found it phenomenal the way it has come together. But
phenomenal is a ladylike word. I have found it to be something even worse than that.
Well, I do try to maintain my status, sir.
And you do. It's just when you see the media latch on to a comment made months ago at a private fundraiser.
Sure.
And then you sit there and think, okay, in the grand scheme of things, because and as important as four murdered Americans are, and we can never lose sight of that, it's also important whether or not you can trust your government. And when your government comes out and tells you that this was a video, when they knew full well at the time it had nothing to do with the video, then people ought to be outraged that the people they put in positions of responsibility and power are lying to them.
Yeah, Trey, I kind of think like vote for revenge. I mean, I have no idea where that could have come from.
I hope, you know, I saw late last night or early this morning, CNN has a poll where they're tied, and they sampled 11 percentage points more Democrats than Republicans. Now, if that passes as objective polling, that's the one thing I will be glad about. On Wednesday morning, we all win from this standpoint, that we don't have to listen to pollsters anymore, and we don't have to listen to people who've never, ever run for political office and never won political office before tell us how the election's going to turn out. The great thing about elections is the best poll you can ever take.
Yes, is the election itself.
Yes, is the election itself. And then we don't have to figure out why, you know, Quinnipiac and CNN and Marist and Pew and all the others are so far off. There is something to the sampling methodology. When you, I mean, and if you sampled 11 percentage points more Gamecock fans on who they thought was going to win, the Carolina-Clemson football game, I think you'd probably get a skewed result.
Really?
You wouldn't from me because I think Death Valley's a tough place to play, and even if you are a Gamecock fan, I think Clemson's probably going to win. But 11 percentage points more? I mean, that's how many more Democrats they polled than Republicans? And they want to pass this poll, and it's still tied. It's tied even when you'd pull games like that.
Well, Trey Gowdy, you know, I think this is going to be the election of all times. You know, the absentee voting here in the state of South Carolina has been huge. All across the country, people have been voting early. I guess, what do you think the outcome is going to be for the Senate? What are you thinking about on the Senate?
Well, a little bit how Governor Romney does, so goes the Senate in states like Indiana, where Murdoch is mounting a challenge, Missouri, where Todd Akin is obviously challenging Claire McCaskill, Virginia, with George Allen, Florida, you got Connie Mack challenging the incumbent, Bill Nelson. I think it's going to be close. If you ask me to put my hand on the Bible and tell you absolutely the truth with no political spin at all, I think it's probably going to be tough for the Republicans to take the Senate, which means, you know, Harry Reid over the weekend said it would be laughable for anyone to assume that he's going to work with Governor Romney. Now, I guess he didn't get the memo on the postpartisan civility or the bipartisanship that we're always told we have to engage in when a Democrat wins.
Exactly.
He didn't get that memo. But regardless, the Senate's going to be very close. It makes a huge difference. you've got men like Jim DeMint that would be the chairman of a Senate committee, Commerce, if we won. That's a big deal.
Right.
But the Senate being the way it is, really 60 is the number you need and not 51. And we're not going to get 60. There's no scenario under which we get 60. And your listeners don't want to hear this, and I don't want to say it. But, you know, the beautiful thing about our system is, come Wednesday, somebody somewhere is going to start looking at the next election cycle. And it won't be presidential, but there will be a third of the Senate back up again. And I'm tired of politics. I'm tired of polls. I'm tired of watching people on television talk about politics. But if the Senate doesn't get the message on Tuesday, we'll have another opportunity to send that message, to the Mary Landrews in Louisiana and others who claim to be bipartisan and claim to be open-minded, but they just never can find a Republican idea they can vote for. We'll have another shot in 2 years.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you're on a tight schedule today. You know, I guess you either have voted or you will vote tomorrow for Mitt Romney. Am I correct on that?
Well, you are correct that I will tomorrow, Lord willing. If I wake up in the morning, my wife and we have a son, and this will be his first presidential election, and we're going to all go together. You know, the way South Carolina's law is written with respect to early voting, and being a former lawyer, I could not find a category that allowed me to vote early. I probably could if I stretched it a little bit, but I like to follow the rules, and the truth is I'm not going to be out of the state, and I'm not over a certain age, so they probably would have let me because I, you know, would like to go to other polling places tomorrow and things like that, but I'm going to vote with my wife and my son first thing in the morning and then go about the upstate and greet folks at the legal distance away from polling places. And then kind of gather up tomorrow night and hope that this enthusiasm I feel in the upstate towards change will permeate the rest of the nation. And I think there's a chance that we're not going to be on the edge of our seats tomorrow night. I think there's a chance that this thing will be called early. And then we'll have to be about the task of governing and doing what we said we were going to do.
Absolutely, and then there'll be a lame duck session, and we'll have to see how that all goes, right?
Well, there won't be much. There won't be much done there if Governor Romney wins. We're going to give him the chance to set his agenda, and then we'll work with him on this. But there was a reason that Senator DeMint and others were so skeptical of a lame duck session, and we voted. A CR passed, a six-month CR, even though, you know, a number of the folks from South Carolina voted against it, it passed nonetheless, which kind of gets some of these issues past the lame duck session. But your listeners, there are a few things they should fear as much as a lame duck session of Congress.
Absolutely. Congressman Trey Gowdy, one of my favorite congressmen to talk to, thanks so much for taking time, I know, on a very busy day for you, and I know we'll be talking again real soon.
And it's a pleasure to talk to you, and next time I will have the right number, so you're not waiting on me.
That's okay. Hey,
All
Trey,
right.
thank you
God
so
bless
much.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.